So continuing our look at unwinnable wars, or finding a definition for a long, open-ended war that may or may not be winnable, we're joined by Maren McKenna, who's the author and magazine journalist who wrote the article Superbug, The Fatal Menace of MRSA, which is an antibiotic-resistant bug. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I wanted to get your response to the medical journal Lancet Infectious Diseases, which documented a new and dangerous gene that actually contains antibiotic resistance that could actually transform almost any bacteria into a superbug. It's called NDM1. You've written about MRSA, which is a pathogen that's found in hospitals and is a very, very frustrating phenomenon for epidemiologists and for doctors. First of all, how do bacteria become resistant to antibiotics, and how serious of a problem do you think this is?
So the first thing to say is that this new resistance factor is serious. But let's explain first how that happened, how this this came to be. So most of our antibiotics are based on, or were originally based on, compounds that bacteria sort of aimed at each other before there were even humans around to clear out living space, to kill competing bacteria. And we took those compounds and we made synthetic versions of them. And just as bacteria resisted them, protected themselves against each other back before we made pharmaceuticals, they keep doing it to us. Antibiotics interfere with bacteria in a kind of lock-and-key mechanism. They actually interfere with them on a sort of molecular level. The bacteria evolve, change their shape or change their membranes so that the antibiotic compounds can't disrupt their membranes or get inside.
And what's really important about how antibiotics work is that they're very, very different from antiseptics. Antiseptics kill all life, like alcohol or iodine or something like that. An antibiotic has to work in a very specifically targeted way, which is why it doesn't kill the host and why you can develop a resistance to it, right?
Right.
So what are we going to do about NDM1?
So this is really problematic, and I think a number of people around the world have really been shocked by it, a number of health authorities, and that's one reason why there's been so much reaction to this over the past 48 hours. This is a particular resistance factor that has been found in a group of bacteria called gram-negatives, and that's important because gram-negatives are the bacteria for whom there are the fewest remaining drugs. Mm. For a quirk of the bacteria's structure, it's harder to make drugs for gram-negatives than it is for other kinds of bacteria.
Now, when you say quirk of the bacteria structure, are we talking about a mutation that favors the survival of this particular bacteria, kind of an evolutionary narrative?
Actually, it's something more simple than that. You can divide bacteria into kinds that have a single membrane around them,
right,
and kinds that have a double-walled membrane around them. The single ones are gram-positives, and gram is the name of a test. MRSA, for instance, that you mentioned a moment ago, is a gram-positive. Now, there aren't very many drugs for the gram-positives, but because it's actually harder to get through those double membranes, it's harder to make up drugs for them. And so there are very few drugs for the gram-negatives, but the pipeline of drug development has just about dripped itself dry.
Oh, so that's scary. So gram-positives are scary enough, but gram-negatives are even more scary, and a resistant gram-negative drug presents a serious problem to the pharmaceutical industry.
Exactly. And this particular resistance factor, NDM1, has been found in a number of gram-negative bacteria. It's on a loop of free DNA that can move easily from bacterium to bacterium and from species to species. So that's really problematic. And what's especially problematic is that in the isolates, the samples that they had from India and Pakistan, the researchers found that it was not just a bug that was in hospitals, but was also out in what medicine calls the community, which means kind of anywhere outside the walls of a hospital, and was causing things as simple as urinary tract infections, which is not the kind of infection that if a doctor saw one, they would immediately say,
right,
oh, this must be a resistant infection, I must test it.
And God forbid it should become airborne. Well, when penicillin was found, it was basically a bread mold bacteria pointing the way to how to create antibiotics. Molecular biology aside, is the bacteria world suggesting any avenues for developing a new drug?
You know, the news on this is very new, but I think you can tell from the concern of the researchers talking about it that this one is really going to be a challenge.
And, I mean, would we look at other biological organisms to give us a clue as to what to do, or is it really just about finding molecules that are going to do what we want?
I think it's a question of, at this point, of looking at particular molecules. Resistance factor looks really complicated. It has a number of resistances sort of within it that's going to take a while to unpick.
You know how the pharmaceutical industry works. Does the business model of the pharmaceutical industry justify going in and developing this, or is there really no financial incentive for us to declare an emergency and get going on this?
Well, you know, a number of companies over the past decade or so have backed away from antibiotic development. And there are health authorities in this country who are saying that if we still want another generation of antibiotics, we have to actually start giving incentives to the pharmaceutical companies to coax them back into the market again.
Is that a job for, the National Institutes of Health or more the World Health Organization? I mean, this is a phenomenon that we've detected in Asia now, but I'm just wondering, what are the institutions that are going to create those incentives?
Well, I don't think that's the sort of thing that the World Health Organization would do, but they would be the ones who would be looking for the international spread of this organism. Getting pharmaceutical companies back into the market again is probably more a job for governments than it is for health authorities.
Scientifically speaking, what really interests you? I mean, all sort of apocalyptic notions aside, what really interests you about what we're discovering about disease-resistant bacteria?
You know, I think this resistance factor that we're talking about today, NDM1, is such a perfect example of why we need to be so concerned about antibiotic resistance, because it's such an example of unintended consequences. One of the reasons why this spread so widely, it's pretty clear from the people whom they've studied, is because of medical tourism and because of international migration. When it was first found 2 years ago, and the very first sufferer who was identified, it was a man who had moved from India to Sweden, went back to India, was hospitalized there by accident, and then when he went back to Sweden again, they found this in him. We have been saying the world's getting increasingly global. We've been saying it's a good thing that we can move stuff such as medical care to countries where it is less expensive. But we didn't think about watching for things like this as we were doing that.
One of the consequences of global medical health aid, in some sense. Maren McKenna, that's a really interesting takeaway. She's the author and magazine journalist who wrote Superbug, The Fatal Menace of MRSA, talking about the disturbing reports of NDM1, a genetically based resistance found in some bacteria. Thank you, Maren.
Thank you.